have an assignment to pick up one of the kids. So I let's try. I don't know if it's shaykh to finish the biographical section of our discussion. We began to talk last week about the Holy Rebbe with Avraham Sachet Shavim, famous, known as the Avni Nezer, after his Shelton Shuvas. And we were in the middle of discussing the fascinating story of the Shidduch, of his Shidduch to the daughter of the Kotzker, that, you know, Bechlal, we've been speaking about the Kotzker on a number of occasions. When we spoke about the split between Ishbitzin, Kotzk, and the background of Ishbitzin, and with the Kotzker, every single step that he took was mamish filled with all kinds of mysteries. And the Shidduch, just briefly, we saw that originally there was an intention on the part of the Chiddush HaHarim, the first Ger Rebbe, to make a shidduch between his grandson and his granddaughter and the Avni Nezer. That was his kavanah, and they were going to Kotzk to get a bracha from the Rebbe, from the Kotzker, for the shidduch, the Chiddush Harim's granddaughter and the Avni Nezer, who we spoke about last week. The Avni Nezer was the greatest catch in all of Europe. Anyway, we went through the whole ma'aser that it turned out that the Kotzker was interested in the Avni Nezer for his own oldest daughter, for Saratzina, and we spoke about the difficulty or how uncomfortable the father of the Nezer was, Reb Zev Nochum, and with the Chiddush HaRim, who was a very close friend, in terms of what to do about the Shidduch and so on. And when we finished last week, was that the Kotzker Rebbe had said, Reb Mendel from Kotzk said to the Chiddush HaRim, that I'm also afraid, honestly, I'm also afraid of this Shidduch, and that the Avni Nezer has such a big neshama, he comes from such an exalted place, that I'm afraid, I myself haven't concluded that I definitely want this Shidduch for my daughter, because it has to be somebody that understands the root of his neshama, that the Avni Nezer has the ability to bring the Geula closer. We'll see this. We'll see that the Kotzker said that on a number of occasions, to bring the Geula, to bring redemption closer. And I'm not sure, the Kotzker said, whether I can actually handle him. At any rate, that pretty much convinced the Chiddush HaRim that this was not for him. And he came out and he told Reb Zev Nochum, the Avni Nezer's father, that even if your son would be Moshe Rabbeinu, I wouldn't be interested in this Shidduch. It's not for me. I can't take care of it. So that's what we're up to. So according to the understanding of Reb Zev Nochum, remember Reb Zev Nochum was the father of the Avni Nezer. Reb Zev Nochum, they called him Reb Velvelish. Reb Velvelish himself was one of the greatest Talmid Chacham in all of Poland. That Reb Velvelish understood that the Kotzker was more than interested in his son, more than interested in the Avni Nezer, but it was pretty much a done deal. That's what he understood. So that's where we're holding. So afterwards, Reb Zev Nochum went in to the Kotzker, just to get a bracha, but he knew, Reb Zev Nochum knew, that the Chiddush HaRim and the Kotzker had been talking about the Shidduch the whole time. The Kotzker wasn't supposed to know that Reb Zev Nochum knew this, that the Avni Nezer's father knew any of these things, these negotiations. Anyway, everybody, Reb Zev Nochum went in like he didn't know anything. He came for a bracha, and he was sure that the Kotzker would pour him a l'chaim, and they would write up some tanoim, they would write up the deal to make the Shidduch. As it turned out, the Kotzker didn't say one word about the match. He gave him a bracha, yeshiva maslich, whatever, that was it. He didn't even ask to see the Avni Nezer. He didn't even call the boy in. Everybody went home. So there was no shidduch at all. The Ger Rebbe Chiddush HaRim went back to Warsaw, and Reb Zev Nochum and the Avni Nezer went back to Biala, to where they were. And quite a few months passed. It seems that 4 or 5 months went by, and Reb Zev Nochum didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to look for another shidduch for Avni Nezer, to try again maybe with the Chiddush HaRim, his old friend. And the Kotzker didn't say a word. On the other hand, he knew that the Kotzker was thinking, he knew that the Kotzker was interested, because he told this whole story to Chiddush HaRim. So what happened was that a number of months went by, and finally, Reb Zev Nochum, Reb Velvelish, the Avni Nezer's father, gets a letter from Reb Hirsch Tomashov. That was the trusted companion and shamus of the, when we say Shamus, this is a Jew that knew Shas inside and out. It wasn't a Shamus, you know, it wasn't a fellow that just arranged the chairs. It was a new Shas inside and out. Reb Hirsch Tomei Shover. Not that there's anything got to be wrong with taking care of a shul, a regular Shamus is at Tzaddik, but this was talking about a Jew that knew the whole Shas inside and out, Reb Hirsch Tomei Shover. He would have been a Rosh Yiv anyplace else. By the Kotsky, he was, you know, sending letters. So, Reb Hirsch Tomei Shover sent a letter to Reb Velvelish that the Kotsky wants to see that immediately, to Rosh. Avni Nezer and his father should immediately, the father and Rabbi Romulo should rush immediately come to Kotz. The Rebbe has a very urgent thing to discuss. So this tremendous simcha in the house there. The Avni Nezer finally, like after 4 or 5 months, the Kotzker remembered the shidduch or something. And they all pack up and the Rebbe is all excited, you know, her boy is going off for the shidduch. He gets there. I think you could pretty much anticipate what happens. They come there to Kotz and Pish Tomashova brings them in. And the Kotzke says, like, the Kotzke says, how's the learning going? He talks to them in learning. He starts talking to them in learning. He asked Avni Nezer, did you have any chiddush lately? He asked the boy, and they said over a piece of Torah, and the Kotzke asked a few questions, and he told him that they should be well, and that was it. He didn't say a word about the shidduch, and they had received a letter that the Kotzke wants them to come immediately, and it's a whole thing. But, Lemaisa, nothing happened. And Reb Zev Nochum at this point, Reb Velvelish wouldn't say a word, of course. He only told this over. This we have the story Mamish from Reb Velvelish. He said that the truth is that even though he wouldn't dare speak up, but he felt very humiliated. He felt very humiliated already. But this is already a Maisa from 4 or 5 months, and then to leave everything and to come, and it was like a busha that they're not good, and the son's not, you know, he didn't understand the whole thing. But of course he wouldn't say a word to the Kotzker. By this time, he told his son, he told Ebenezer that that's it, we're going home. There's nothing here for us to do, and we're going home. Then, as they were packing their bags, Reb Hirsch Tomei Shover came again and said that the Rebbe would like to speak to you. So they go in, they go into the Kotzker, and these are the words that we have. This is what transpired over there. When the Rebbe sent for him, they came in. Reb Zev Nochum, the Avni Nezer was told, Rabbi Romulo was asked to stay outside, and the Kotzker said the following. It was in the Yiddish, but this is what Reb Zev Nochum said he heard that the Kotzker told him. Harehu, Ilei Mashakol Yisod Ki Yumeinu Banu Yolov. He said, the child, your son, my whole existence is dependent upon him, the Kotzker said. My whole existence is dependent upon him. And if Chas v'Shalom he becomes ruined here in Kotsk, v'yaschel lasik b'chassidus, and he gets all into chassidus. In other words, he starts getting into tishin chassidus and nigunim instead of what he has to, what his thing in the world is to do. Says my yemimenu. So then, what will become of him? Rebbe shel chassidim. He'll be a rebbe of chassidim. Now remember, the Kotsk was the biggest rebbe in the world. Understand these? But he's saying, well, what's he going to be? He's going to be a Rebbe of Chassidim. That's what's going to come from him. He'll be a Rebbe of Chassidim. B'chizu atachlis. Is that the purpose of his coming into this world, your son? So Velvelish answered, v'chi im esay my shidduch acher b'tur shalo yeh Rebbe l'chassidim. And if I make from a different shidduch with some other tzaddik, so then he won't be a Rebbe of Chassidim, I mean. So then he won't end up as meaning just a Rebbe. Meaning, you know, a Rebbe that feels the Chassidus, but not to be the biggest teacher of Torah to the whole world, which he became. So Reb Zev Nochum says, and if I'll do better. See, he'll do better. It's also a danger he'll become a Rebbe. So the Rebbe answered, the Kotzke answered. Remember, this is all first-hand information from the Avni Nezer's father. This is not Bubba Mai, this is first-hand information. So he answered, and he said, so the Kotzke said, I will ain't in Norley, in Klima Fur Kazayas Kalkal Vibesi. He says, you're talking right. It might be even worse someplace else, but it doesn't become me, and I couldn't bear the thought that such a wondrous Kaylee, such an amazing child, an amazing vessel should be ruined in my own home. I don't want to have a chrayas for him. Im chas v'sholom lo yavr al atzmai lufi sharish neshmaso. That if Chas v'Shalom he doesn't work on himself according to the root of his soul, I don't want to be responsible in my house, in my bais medrash, that this amazing child should become ruined. Sharehu bolo ilum hazek de lakariv ketsagula. The koach torosov avados, Koska said. He has been brought into this world to bring Mashiach closer to his study of Torah, to his avodas Hashem. So then the father answered, hey, Shiva, Revelish answered, that he's certain that the only person in the world that could make sure that he will be able to reach his potential is the Rebbe, is the Koska. And then the Koska started to scream. And he said, that Rav Revel said he began mamish to scream. And he said, Hare ani yoyshev sogru masuga b'soy chadri. He says, look at me, the Koska says, I stay locked up and hidden inside my room. This is during the years when he was hidden. I'm locked up and hidden inside my room. Uman nasim yemeni. Even though I was hiding, even though I'm trying to hide, what became of me? Rebbe shel chassidim. I'm a Rebbe of the chassidim. In other words, I have to deal with questions and problems, and this one, you know, somebody coming and telling me that the cow doesn't feel well, and the other one, the goat is not happy. And then all day long, this one's sick, this one, you know, kvitlich and this. And then the Koska, he gave this scream, and he went like this with his hand, like a vittle, and he made like this, it's not for me, and he left. He walked out. So once again, Reb Zev Nachum, this is, he's having a hard time with the Mechut, and you know, it didn't work out. I mean, so in the meantime, he doesn't know whether it's a Shidduch or not. So he came and he told his son what happened, and the father saw that there's something, at least he's thinking about it. So they decided to wait a few more days, and the next thing that happened was that Reb Hirsch Tomashov came and said that you have to come immediately to the Rebbe's study, and they came, and the Rebbe had Tanoim there. He had the contract, the wedding contract. Not the Ksuba, but the Tanoim, the engagement contract. He had it prepared. And he didn't say a word. He had in the room this, I don't know why, but the Koska had brought into the room 10 of the biggest schleppers in the whole town. Not Tamil Chum. 10 like, nobodies. Like, the schnarrers and Mishulachim and people. Like, he brought them into the room. That they're gonna be like the Adam or something. He brought them into the room. And he pushed the simplest Jews. He brought them in, and the Rebbe came. The Koska came with his son Reb Davidl. They came into the room. Then Reb Hirsch Tomashov with these 10 Alta Yidden, with these 10 old people. They came to the room and they have the Tanoim. The Koska didn't say a word. Not mamish, not a word. Not with Reb Velvish, not with his son, not with the Adonizer. And Reb Hirsch Tomashov wrote up the Tanoim. And they brought it to the father, and the father signed it, the father signed the Tanoim, and then he had the Rebbe signed it, the Koska signed, and he had the 10 old men, signed the Tanoim, and then the Rebbe without a word got up, and he went back into his private room. He went back into his room. He didn't say Mazel Tov, didn't say we're just signed the Tanoim with these old men, and he walked away. So the old men asked what they should do, if they have to stay. They were afraid, as it was, they were very afraid to stay there. They didn't want to be there. And they didn't know where they should leave. And Reb Hirsch Tomashov told them that they should stay a little bit. And Reb Zev Nochem Avinezer was staying in the room there with the old men. It says in the Sefer that they were there, Chatzion, they were there for up to something like 12 hours, just sitting there. Sitting in the room with these old people. And they didn't know what to do. In the meantime, Reb Zev Nochum and Avni Nezer had a terrible Chalisha Zadas. This is how it's going to be here. What kind of, this is a simcha. What's going to be? This isn't how you make a simcha. And they didn't know what to do. And they began to have terrible regret. And Reb Velvish said that he was thinking to tear up the Tanoim, to do something. He couldn't bear the whole thing. All of a sudden, that moment when the father was on the verge of giving up, The Reb Hirsch Tomashov told him to come into the Rebbe's private room, and there was mezainis, there was cake prepared, and there was wine, and the Rebbe poured, and he gave a mazel tov to his mechut, and he said mazel tov mechut, and he gave a big mazel tov to Adonizer, and he gave him a kiss, and Reb Zev Nochum said that the face of the Koski was mamish like a malach Hashem Tzevokos, so it was mamish red like a beet, was on fire like with kavanis. That he had, and he gave this very big l'chaim, and he said, and the Koska said, "Va'ati hey niftach b'shamayim mokum lezugzeh." He says, "Now this is the moment that has been opened in heaven that there should be a bracha for this couple, not before." And then he said, the Kotzke said over Torah that we don't have. He said over some very deep Torah, some Kabbalah things. And he gave a bracha to the Chassan. And in the meantime, people ran into the Beis Medrash where the Chassidim was sitting, waiting to hear, like, what's gonna, you know, waiting to get a thing on the, like, to know what's going on. And the, everybody started screaming Mazel Tov. And then the Kotzke nodded to Reb Zev Nachum, to Reb Elvish, and to the Avnei Nezer, they should go dance. He himself stayed in his room. And they went into the Beis Medrash and they danced. They danced for a few hours, and after that, Avnei Nezer said a pilpul in Gemara for 4 more hours. He said a pilpul. He was only a child. He said Avnei Nezer said a Torah in learning in Lumdus for 4 hours. That was that his father describes as being amoik v'noira, deep and awesome pilpul that he gave. The next day, the Kotzke called for the Avnei Nezer to come into the room, and he said, "I want you to say over the pilpul, but for me, you don't have to say it. It shouldn't take more than 15 minutes. Say over the pilpul." And the Avnei Nezer said over the whole pilpul in a few minutes. And the Kotzke then gave him a gift. It was a golden box. And he told the Avnei Nezer that I want until the chasna, I want, after you go back home, I want you to send me chidushet Torah all the time, to send me letters with your ideas of Torah. And we know that when he would get a letter from his son-in-law to be, so the Kotzke would talk it over with the biggest Talmid Chachamim Kotzke, mamish like being he was talking over something, like as if he got a letter from Rashi or from the Rif. He would be mafalful in every single word of his future son-in-law, who altogether at this time was a kid. And the Kotzke treated him in such a way. Anyway, came time for the chasna sometime later. I don't know exactly the how much time passed between the Erisin and the Nisuin, but it came time for the chasna, and once again, under the chuppah, they were waiting for the Kotzke for quite a few hours, and the whole Olam was very restless, and there were all the big rabbis and thousands of people, and the Kotzke was not coming out from his room. And finally, they begged Rav Hirsch Tomashovit to please knock on the door, and he asked the Kotzke if he would mind coming to the chuppah. And what happens is that Rav Hirsch Tomashovit went in, and he told the Kotzke, says that Rebbe, that the Olam is waiting for the Rebbe. The Rebbe said, the Kotzke said, I says, yes, I know, but I had very, very important guests that came to give me a bracha. And he mentioned with movements of his head, he said, the Heilige Jew from Peshischa, the Holy Jew of Peshischa, the Rebbe Rebuna from Peshischa, and Rebitz Lavorka, all three of whom had died quite a while before, had come to give a bracha, and now it's possible to go to the chuppah. And the Kotzke went under the chuppah, and the Avnei Nezer told him, the Avnei Nezer said later on, that the Kotzke, when the Kotzke came under the chuppah, he leaned over and he whispered something to the Avnei Nezer. And the Avnei Nezer said later on that what he whispered was that he was megala to him, he revealed to him the place from which he took the neshama of his daughter, who his daughter really was. In other words, who he was really marrying, where the neshama was from. And he gave him a mazel tov, and that's the story of the famous chasana. I just wanted to backtrack that I should have mentioned this before. I said at the end last week that there was a shidduch that had been suggested for the Avnei Nezer to marry the daughter before the Kotzke, to marry the daughter of the Gadol Hador, the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav. And it's an interesting story. We have an exact report from the family of the Divrei Chaim, who was there to witness this the meeting between the Avnei Nezer and the Divrei Chaim and the sons of Rav Chaim Halberstam. So they say that Reb Zev Nachum, this is before the Kotzke, I'm just backtracking, that Reb Zev Nachum and his son and the Avnei Nezer came to Sanz. And the Rebbe attested the Avnei Nezer in the sugya of Shomer Shemosel Shomer, a very deep sugya in the Zikin. He tested him in a certain Gemara, and the Sanzer Rav was absolutely overwhelmed by the brilliance of the Avnei Nezer. And then the Divrei Chaim said he would like to fehear him again. In other words, he would like to ask him something else. You'd like to ask, they had already been through this Gemara for a long time, and you want to ask him a different sugya. So at this point, the Avnei Nezer of Avramala said that he refuses to be tested again. I understand, I mean, the people that were standing around, they had never heard such a chutzpah to say such a thing. I mean, he refuses, he's not, and the Divrei Chaim smiled and asked him, why? What do you mean that you refuse to be tested again? So he said that, these are the words that we have. Im livchein sheinis. If we're talking about testing me a second time, then yesh livchein gatsam achutn, then I would have to test you also. In other words, if you're saying that you're going to test me again, then I'll pidin, I'm entitled to test you. He said to the Gadol HaDor, that I'm entitled to test you, the Mechutin. Why? So he says, so everybody was very shocked by that, and he explained, Barichinim is a chosin biglal ma'amorim kol ha'meisi bitol ha'amoritz kilo kaifta lefnei ha'ari. He said like this, why is it a chosin to test the chosin's learning, to see how the chosin can learn? Because Chazal say that if somebody marries off his daughter to an Amhar, it's as if you're tying her up in front of a lion. That was a terrible thing to marry your daughter off to a guy that can't learn. So he says, but on the other hand, his son-in-law, the potential son-in-law, has to test his future father-in-law. Why? Because it says in the Gemara, because it says that a person should sell whatever he has and marry only the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. In other words, you're entitled to test me one time to see if I'm a Talmud Chacham, because the Gemara says that you're supposed to know whether your son-in-law is a Talmud Chacham. And I'm entitled to test you one time, because it says you shouldn't marry the daughter of a guy that doesn't know how to learn. So then he said the following. Elamai. So why don't I test you? Elamai. So he says, Mamidim ala chazoke. In other words, we can rely upon the chazoke, which is a halachic, the status quo. The assumption is, the assumption is that, the betach rabir is ois chais no shalom achutin. That certainly I was relying upon the assumption that your father-in-law tested you when you were a chassan, that he tested you and that you turned out to be a talmid chacham, because the father-in-law of the Divrei Chaim was the Baruch Tam. So I assumed that you had passed that test, that you were a talmid chacham, because your potential father-in-law tested you whether to marry his daughter, right? To see whether you're a talmid chacham. So then he said, "Aval im hu einoy mistapik bebchina achas gam anoy chilo mistapik." But I see that you're not samech on the chazaka. In other words, I see that you're not relying upon the assumption. You're testing me a second time. It's not enough for you one time. So I also have the right to request to have a second test to see whether you're a talmid chacham. The same way you're not allowed to take me for some law, I'm not taking you as a father if you're not a talmid chacham. So everybody was holding their breath. I mean, it was obviously a very cute thing. So the Divrei Chaim smiled. Everybody was very angry. The sons and everybody they were all very upset. And Rabbi Zev Nochum was very upset, the father, that he said such a thing to the Divrei Chaim. Everybody was very upset except for the Divrei Chaim. Divrei Chaim was smiling. He said, Charif ma'ayit. He's very, very sharp. I will charif me die above right now. He's too sharp for my taste. Not for me. He sent him out. And they said, all the years later, the Divrei Chaim used to say, I should have given him a talk. I should have gone through with him again. So he used to say, it was a mistake. I could have had him. He says, it's not for me. It's not for me. He didn't like that. You know, the whole style, he didn't like that. Kapon, that's the shidduch that didn't turn out. But of course, it was all a hashgacha pratis because it was destined that the Avnei Nezer end up in Kotsk. And that really changed the whole history, I believe, not only of Chassidus, but the whole history of Yiddishkeit was changed because of the Avnei Nezer, the time that he spent over there in Kotsk. Let me read to you the opening sentence to his introduction to the Eglei Tal, to his famous work on Hilchos Shabbos. These are the opening words of the Avnei Nezer. And what's interesting is that although everybody knew that the Kotsk was a great Talmud Chacham, but in general, the Avnei Nezer was known as the greatest in learning. I mean, the Avnei Nezer was known as the god in learning. So he begins his introduction to the Eglei Tal with the following words. V'yan Avram v'yoyim ha'pam oida Hashem Hashem yoyishve beis ha'medrish som chelki. So the Avnei Nezer says that I bless Hashem, I thank Hashem that he placed me among those who sit in beis medrish. U'ma'oidi mimivakshei chachmas ha'tarah ha'yisi. And I was always one who was seeking to understand the Torah. Even when I was a child, as I spoke about last week, that even when I was a small child, my father began to teach me the way of learning. And even when I was a small child, I already had said over 10 chidushim as a small child. He says, "Nichnasti lifnai v'lifnim." Then I entered, lifnai v'lifnim is a term that's used for what? for the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh Kadoshim, right? To the Holy of Holies. So he says, then I went in, lifnai v'lifnim, to the Holy of Holies, the Beis Chami Admoras at Sami Kotz. Then I was privileged to enter into the Holy of Holies, into the house of my father-in-law, the Rebbe of Kotz. Mekor ha-chochma v'hatvuna, the source of wisdom and understanding. And he writes, Mimenu darke ha'iyun lamadati. He says, it was from him that I learned to truly understand how to learn, to know how to learn. He didn't say from him I learned how to be a tzaddik. He says, from the Kotzker, I learned darke ha'iyun. We'll talk about how they would spend time together. He says, Mimenu darke ha'iyun lamadati. Umimenu nisva'adati ma'yikari chidush naidaiti. Ma'yikari chidush etar b'emes. And from my father-in-law, the Kotzker, I learned what's really called chidush etar. That was really a Torah insight I learned from my father-in-law. Because you're able to say some smart thing, that, you know, some hair-splitting thing, that doesn't mean that it's true. That's true Torah. He says, you wouldn't believe me. No one would believe me if I would tell you this story. The great attention that my father-in-law gave me. The ein the pekicha, with his sharp eye, that he was always watching me. Gam b'inyan seder halimud v'chidushim. With everything regarding how I was learning and what I was learning in my chidushim. And then he just says, U'me'oidi ha'yadarki lichtov chidushai ashechanani Hashem. My way was always to write down on paper the ideas that I had in learning. Ach lahadfis advarim la'afitzim alpnei tseva le'ola al-daiti v'ein lucha yotum anatznias. But I never had in mind to publish these things, because the nicest thing in the world is sneers, to be tanu, to be hidden. And then he explains what happened, some particular thing that happened in his life, and what was going on, and his Ruach HaKodesh, something that told him that it was time for him to begin to print, to bring out into the world his svarim. But the important thing here is that we see that the Kotzker spent those last years of his life basically focusing on the education of the Avnei Nezer. And this bears out what we were learning until now, and it wasn't just Tam Maiselach, it wasn't a Maisel. The fact that the Kotzker believed with all of his heart that the future of the, that bringing the redemption closer, bringing Mashiach closer, depended upon the Avnei Nezer's being able to live up to his potential as being a great Talmud Chacham, as being a great Tzaddik. We know that till he died, the Kotzker used to daven all the time. He used to have a special tefillah where he said, Avram is Sarah Zikainen. Avram was the Avnei Nezer. And Sarah was his daughter. And he used to daven, Avram is Sarah should be Zikainen. And because he said, Yehiratzen, he said, Shagufay harafe v'cholosh yachzik bayas moicha haga'oini v'libay harachava. He used to daven all the time. The Kotzker used to daven that the weak and frail body of the Avnei Nezer would be able to contain his powerful mind. Because we saw from the beginning that the Avnei Nezer was always very sick and was always very weak, and the Kotzker used to daven all the time that he should be able to have his health. At that time, when they were first married, Reb Zev Nachum, of course, used to go to Kotzker to visit his son very often and to talk to him and learning and so on. So one time, Reb Zev Nachum, the father, was sitting with the Kotzker, and you know, a father's entitled to brag a little bit, and Reb Velvelish, the Reb Zev Nachum, was mentioning what a great Talmud Chacham his son was. He said it to the Mechutin. So the Kotzker waved his hand and he said, Och Migalant, is that, that's called learning? What he does, that's not learning. So the father, Reb Zev Nachum, had terrible Chalishas Hadas. I mean, from such a thing. He said, that's learning? He said, that's not called learning. So he went out and he ran straight to complain to Reb Avromel. He thought that maybe the Avnei Nezer was not steiging, or maybe he wasn't learning properly. What is that he said to, you know, that he's not learning? So he went and he told him what the Kotzker said. And the Avnei Nezer immediately answered that the Kotzker was referring to a Yerushalmi in Kiddushin. There's nothing to be worried about, he's not upset. But he's referring to a Yerushalmi in Kiddushin. The Yerushalmi says that when Rabbi Tarfin, when Rabbi Tarfin was sick, so Yerushalmi says that the Chachamim came in to visit him. They went to be Mevaka Cholim. The Chacham came to visit Rabbi Tarfin. So Rabbi Tarfin's mother was there. So Rabbi Tarfin's mother, a mother's entitled, Rabbi Tarfin's mother began to brag about that he deserves to live. He's such a tzaddik that, and she began to tell stories about how he honors her. Rabbi Tarfin's Kibbutz Avim is very famous. So that she began to tell them, the Chacham, what a tzaddik my son is, you know how he's mechabed me, you know what, and she told over how she told the Gemara, she told over how, the things that he does to honor her. So, when the Chacham heard that, they told her, afilo oisakai kain elef alof madayin, adayin lechatzi kibbutz shomer tayra adayin lehigia. So the Chacham told her that even if he would do thousands and thousands of times more for you, you should know that he didn't reach even half of the honor that the Torah demands from a child to a parent. And everybody uses that to darshan how poor it is to mechabed the parents and so on, that Rabbi Tarfon did such amazing things, and the Chacham were mevatel it. The Chacham said that's, in other words, they're saying, you call that kibbutz aim? With thousands of times more than he did, it's not even half what the Torah wants that a Jew should honor a mother. So the Avnei Nezer said over this Yishuv in such a way, and instead of saying, yes, he truly deserves to live, he was deathly ill, he truly deserves to live a long life, if truly you honor a parent, you deserve a long life, the Torah says. Instead they say, that's kibbutz, they're mevatlet, that's not kibbutz, it's nothing. So the Avnei Nezer explained that because what they were telling her, what they were saying is that she was implying, the way she was talking, it's as if Rabbi Tarfon had reached a madrega of shleimus. It's as if he had become perfected in this characteristic, in this mitzvah of honoring a parent. And since they understood that the shorish of his neshama, the root of Rabbi Tarfon's neshama, was this mitzvah of kibbutz av v'aim, as we see from many places in Chazal, Rabbi Tarfon did astounding things with honoring his parents. So they understood that if the mother's is awakening, and she's saying this, that in Shemayim, all the Malachim and Hashem, it's dangerous, because what she's saying is that nobody in the world, my son is perfect. And to say such a thing, so the Chacham were afraid that it would bring a kitrig. It would cause problems. Therefore, they're mevatel that it's not even half. In other words, he should live a long life. He has many, many years left to live. To complete his mission. What?
She was afraid that he was.
It sounded as if it was already completed. That's why they said that he didn't reach half the shear. And the mother felt very deflated, and the mother felt bad, but the Chacham, in all the words that they said, they say, you don't know what, every word that the Chacham say is all davening, is all tefillah. So what they were saying is he didn't even reach half the shear. Not even half the shear. Meaning that he should live this 120 and vayt there, right? He's not even half. He was a young man at the time. So he didn't even reach half the shear. So the Avnei Nezer said that that's what the Rebbe meant about me. Since the Rebbe knows that the shorish of, that I came into the world to in this, for this union of learning of Torah. So when you were, so he said to his father, when you were showing off to the Rebbe about my learning, so the Kotzker wanted to make sure that there shouldn't be any kitrugim. So he said, this is what you call learning. He doesn't know how to learn. There shouldn't be a kitrug that on his learning, that there shouldn't be, God forbid, any problems. We know that they learned together, Avnei Nezer and the Kotzker learned together for 7 years. Those 7 years. And keep in mind that during those 7 years, there are very, very few people that were allowed to go into the Kotzker at all. At all. That's the time when he was locked in his room. People weren't allowed in. Even Kvitlich, even though the Chassidim used to be allowed, I think, once a day or once every few days, they used to be allowed to stand outside the room. They weren't allowed inside the room. And the Chassidim used to write Kvitlich. You know, everybody needed different, everybody had different sorrows. So the Kotzk used to come to the door, and there was an opening in the door. And the Kotzk would come to the door, and Reb Hirsch Tamashava would give him all the hundreds of Kvitlich. He would put them into a big bundle, and he would give them to the Kotzk. And the Kotzk, in 1 second, would start to scream out, you go buy the horse and buy that horse that you need, but go to Lemberg, don't go to Varsha. And you do, and he used to say all the eights without even looking at the fiddler. He used to just scream out for half hour, do this, do this, do that. Now we know there's one, they say a story from one of the Chassidim, that one of the Chassidim asked the Rebbe a question, something about Parnosa, but really what he was, this certain Chassid had a Chalisha Zadas because he felt bad, you know, nobody ever got to talk to the Kotzker, nobody ever got to see him, so he was thinking that he wanted to go to Lubavitch. And Lubavitch at that time was a Tzemach Tzedek, Menachem Mendel from Lubavitch, who was at that time there were thousands and thousands of Jews were going to Lubavitch. So this Chassid really, really felt that he wasn't so happy anymore in Kosko. He didn't have any connection to the Rebbe, and he wanted to go to Lubavitch. But he didn't say anything to anybody. He was afraid to say it. Anyway, he wrote on a kvittel about something about business, and the Kosko screamed to him. He says, don't give me your Narish guy. It says, if a Mendel contains, you can go to a Tzveita Mendel. It's okay. You can go from one Mendel to another. Oh, don't tell me you're not looking for business. You want to know about the Rebbe's business. You want business, it says, from Mendel to Mendel, it says you can go. I mean, we have stories about the things that he used to, but he used to scream it all out from the door, and then he used to yell, terrible the shyness of Bittel, I mean. Terrible the shyness, to be Mevatel, the Chassidim, and you know, only the most courageous ones would go there. But he didn't even read the letters, and then he used to all come flying out from the door. He used to come flying out. He would yell, but then they had all kinds of yeshuas. I mean, they worked. There's a story that I once told here that during that time, just to give you an idea of how the Kotzke gave brachas, during that time, I think maybe I told it over here last year, I don't remember. But there was a maisa that the Rebbetzin of Reb David Lelever. Reb David Lelever's wife, the Rebbetzin, and his daughter came to the Kotzke because the daughter was already married for quite a few years and she didn't have a child. And the Rebbetzin came there. Reb David Lelever was one of the biggest rabbis. Reb David Lelever came with the Rebbetzin came with the daughter to see the Kotzke for a bracha. And they gave him a special reshus to go talk to him. Reb David Lelever's Rebbetzin and daughter. And they came in there. They were very fancy ladies, you understand. This is a real malchus, you know. They carried themselves, there's the queen and there's the princess. And they walked in there, and they gave the Kotzke kvittel, and the Kotzke looked up, and he started banging his stick on the table, and he started screaming at this girl. He started screaming at her. I mean, in the sefer they read, he was yelling, you bag of bones, you heap of bones, you worthless. And he says, and you, who do you think you are? What are you wasting my... But he yelled such lashinus. I mean, in the sefer just said v'chulu v'chulu. I don't know what that means. et cetera. And in short, the girl went running out of the room, crying. And the Rebbetzin gave the Kotzke a look. You know, Rebbetzins aren't afraid. You know, gave a look. You know, you heard my daughter. But first she went out of the room there to try to quiet the daughter down. And the daughter was crying uncontrollably. And then the Rebbetzin went back in. The Lelever Rebbetzin went back in, and she gave it to the Kotzke. I mean, she gave it to him. She said, listen, I know what it means, a Rebbe. My husband's a bigger Rebbe. And I never saw this in my life by the Tzaddikim, not from the Chayzer, not from the Rebbe Binim, that they should be screaming and yelling at the Seilah Shainis. What's wrong with the Jewish girl that she wants to have a baby? What's with the screaming and the Kotzke said the whole time. Mamash didn't say a word. And she gave him a long Mishnah Berurah. Finally, the end of the Maisa was that, He said, ask your daughter if she can come, bring your daughter back in. So she didn't want to, the girl didn't want to go back in. So the Rebbetzin said, he came all this way, come once, come back in once, maybe he wants to apologize or something, come back in. So they walked back in, the Kotzke had the sweetest smile, and he said, you're going to have him, Hashem, you'll have a boy, you'll have, within this year, you'll have a boy, mazel and bracha. So they didn't understand what's going on. And it couldn't have been because the Rebbetzin yelled at me. They didn't know what happened. So the Kotzke said, I want to tell you something. When you and your daughter walked in, it wasn't possible for your daughter to have a child. Because she was so filled with gaiva, with conceit. She held herself and you held yourself in such esteem that there wasn't room for another David Lelever's daughter. You know? You couldn't be makabel bracha. You weren't prepared to receive a blessing. You weren't a vessel to receive a blessing. Why? Because if a glass is filled, you can't put anything in it. So you'll excuse me, but I had to empty out the glass. I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings. Go into the head, you'll have a child. And that's the maestro that she told over, how she had that baby, that she had that child. From the Kotzke's bracha. But that's how the Kotzke said bracha, you understand? He used to empty out the glass so he should be able to fill it. And that most people couldn't deal with that kiddur. I mean, that's why they split with Ishbitz and so on. A lot of the Chassidim left. I mean, the people couldn't take it. but the Avnei Nezer went in. The law was that the Avnei Nezer had to come in at least once a day to say over Chidushim and learning. At least once a day. To talk over and learning with the Kotzke. But he was allowed to go in whenever he wanted. Whenever he wanted, he was allowed to go in. And they spent hours and hours, and nobody else was allowed in. He spent hours and hours. We have a story that one time that Ezra himself was upset for quite a while, that for a number of weeks, the Chidushim weren't going. he was saying over and learning, and the Kutzker was very annoyed, and the Kutzker kept on saying that it was Mavatlid. And he didn't like the learning, but this wasn't like the last time. Something was wrong. And the Avnei Nezer, because when that first story happened, the Avnei Nezer felt the learning was going great, but here the Avnei Nezer felt it's not going. You understand, by him it's not going meant, you know, must have been unbelievable things. But he felt that the learning wasn't going, that there weren't emistic chidushim, and the Kutzker was annoyed with him. The Kutzker said, was Mavatl the chidushim. And the Avnei Nezer was very, very upset that the Kutzker, you know, that the Rebbe was Mavatl and so on. So he went to speak to his closest friend. The Avnei Nezer's closest friend was Rebbe Chil Meir Gustanin. I told you last week, I mentioned that the Tehillim Yid, the Tzaddik from Gustanin. And he went and he poured his heart out about how the Rebbe's Mavatl is learning, and it's, you know, he doesn't know it's not going. So Rebbe Chil Meir went into the Rebbe. He was also known to go in occasionally Shaloi Kedas, you know, to push his way in. So Rebbe Chil Meir went in, and he said to the Kotsky, he said, everybody's jealous that the Kotsky has such an Adam, that he has such a son-in-law, and even if, let's say, the learning is not perfect every time, but why is the Rebbe Mazal, why is the Rebbe hurting him and insulting his learning? So the Rebbe said, these are the words that the Rebbe Chil Meir said that he heard from the Kotsky. So he says, you're coming to ask me, he says, Meir, you're coming to ask me kashas. You want to ask a kasha what I'm doing? He says, Haim Tomid asking him, do I have to agree with him all the time? If I agree with him all the time, the world will be burnt and destroyed with his chidusha. Upon him, it happened that during that period, the Avnei Nezer would also send back to his father chidusha. Now he lived in Kutsk, he would send chidushim to his father. And the father also felt that it's not the same, that the quality wasn't the same. And the father was very worried. And the father went to Kutsk to see what was wrong. And he went into his first he went into the Avnei Nezer, he went into his son, and he told him, I'm very worried, I have to be honest with you, that I haven't seen that the quality of learning is what it used to be. And the two of them cried for a long time. And then the Reb Zev Nochum said he wants to go to speak, that they should come in to speak to the Rebbe together. And they went in to the Rebbe, and before Reb Zev Nochum said anything, the Kutzker said, Numachutin, it seems that the koyach of your genius is already gone. It's already finished, his genius. It's done. So Reb Zev Nochum heard that, and he started to cry, and the Nezer started to cry. And the Reb Zev Nochum, the father said, I myself felt that something is not right, and that's why we came to ask the Rebbe to help. Anyway, the Rebbe sat, they say the Kutzker sat for a few hours with his eyes closed, and then all of a sudden he gave out a scream, he said, Hashem, we have to strengthen ourselves, that the young man, the Avnei Nezer, should once again be strengthened, that his kelim should be good, that he should have learning. And then the Avnei Nezer, who told over the story, said that he no longer was able to hear anything. That the Kutzker, he saw with his eyes that the Kutzker and his father were talking for a long time. They were talking about something, and he saw the Kutzker's face was changing different colors, but he couldn't hear a thing. And all we know is that Avnei Nezer said that when the conversation was over and he was able to hear again, that his mind had never been. He said for the rest of his life his mind was completely different madrega than the first part of his life. He said that he had like a new moichin, mamish, a new brain that he received. And he asked his father, and they went back together. He asked his father what did the Kutzker talk to him about? So the father said, if the Rebbe wanted you to hear, he wouldn't have taken away your hearing, and it wasn't for you to hear. The Avnei Nezer said that the chidushim that he was able to be mechadish after that event were 77 times. Yeah, number 77 times greater. What does that mean? I don't know. But there was 77 times greater than the chidushim that he was mechadish beforehand. Take seven. I'll take 177th would be good too. It's also good. But 1777 is also good. It happened once during this period also that the Avnei Nezer was so sick that he began to cough blood. He began to spit blood. And the doctors were misyayish, and they gave up hope. And the doctor said that that as we have spoken about before, the doctor said that such a frail body cannot contain this kind of a mind and the effort that he puts in and how he starves himself and what he's carrying, you know, with his brain and so on, that they felt that he's just too weak. And the machil was at a point that they thought the Avnezer was going to die. And he was only in his 20s at this. He wasn't even. He was 20 when the Kotzka died, so he must have been 18, 19, something like that. He was a young man. So the Kotzka came to visit him. And when the Kotzka left the room, this is what he said. He said to the chassidim, to the family that was outside, he said, "Ben aseres alof from anshei chayil, amongst the 10,000 soldiers, ain ani roya gibor chayil kamo. There is no greater soldier than him." He says, "Hem harayfim einam yoydim ma shani roitsa oid lasas mimenu." The doctors don't know what I have planned for him. They already said there's no hope for him, but the doctors don't know what I have planned for him. Who oy yigdal? I told you this last week. I mentioned it. Who oy yigdal v'yisal madregas a maharal akadosh miprag? My plans are that he should become as great as the maharal miprag. It's not time for him to leave the world. He can't die. Then they said. Then what happens is the kotzka went in. The kotzka went into the room. The kotzka went back into the room, and he called out again. But this time was the koilei koilus that they say that everybody outside mamish began to shake. He said, "Avram b'sara zakenim." That Avram and Sarah will be zakenim, meaning that Avramelo, Avnezer, and Sarah Tzina, his daughter, will be zakenim. And he promised them an arichas yom, and so it was that they had a long life. They had a long life together. The Avnezer once said about going to the Kotzka. I'm just filling in a couple of the details here. That the Avnezer once said that even though I was the son-in-law of the Rebbe of Kotzk, and I was the one that was able to go into his room pretty much whenever I wanted, he said, nevertheless, b'chalzo somru saris roishi, b'chol pam kasher karoli. Nevertheless, over the 7 years that I was going in and out of his room, any time that the Rebbe called for me, he said my hair would mamish stand up. Upasakti delas cheder, when I would open the door to the room, he said my hair would mamish stand up in terror and fear. And he told the following story. Listen to this, it's an amazing thing. The Avnezer said that one time he went into the Kotzka, and there was an old man that was sitting there, a beautiful-looking Jew, who obviously, him and the Kotzka had great love between them. They were talking with great affection and warmth, and he said he rarely would see the Kotzka in such a happy mood and an animated mood, and they were talking about different things quietly, bahava v'chiba, and learning. And the Avnezer didn't recognize the man. I mean, Avnezer knew everybody who was in Kotz, and he hadn't seen him before. And anyway, they said goodbye, and they hugged each other, and the man walked out. And the Avnezer asked the Kotzka who it was, and the Kotzka didn't answer. But around an hour later, he answered, and he said that the old man that you saw was the Prima Gadim. The author of the Prima Gadim, who was no longer alive for many, many years, right? The author of the Prima Gadim, the famous work on the Shulchan Aruch. And because the Kotzka said that because I had been struggling all day to answer up a question on the Prima Gadim, so the Prima Gadim was mechabed me to come for a visit. And that's the old man that came. That was the Prima Gadim. So the Avnezer said that the Kotzka told me that was the Prima Gadim. He said to me Farish. But that was the Prima Gadim. So there were interesting things going on in Kotzka. I mean, the mice that I told you 2 weeks ago, I mean the last week, the mice with the Mora that I'm just going to repeat for those that didn't hear it. It's a famous mice, but I'll say it much faster than it really should take. But the mice that was the Seder, by the Seder in Kotz, so only the most brilliant students were allowed to be by the Kotz for the Seder, and of course the Avnezer was there. And it came time to give out the Mara. I told you a couple weeks ago. It came time to give out the Mara in the Seder. And the Kotzka wasn't giving out the Mara. And the Chassidim didn't know what to do. You know, you have to have Mara. So they didn't know what to do. And they were afraid on their own. So somebody went over, of course, to Avnezer, and they whispered to Avnezer to, maybe so there's some way to remind the Rebbe about the Mara. So I mentioned to you that the Avnezer said, he said that there's a, he called out loud to the Shver, the Kotzki, he says the Shver knows there's a machloikis from the Gemara, where the Mora is the Raisa's Rabbanon, where the obligation to eat Mora is from the Torah, is from the Rabbanon. So he says that from this Seder, we could prove that it's Midaraisa because the Rabbanan are not giving out any Mara. Right, we could prove that it's from the Torah because the rabbis are not giving out Mara. It must be it's from the Torah because the rabbis for sure not giving any Mara. So that's what he said. And the Chassidim held their breath, and sure enough, the Koska stood up and he started pounding on the table and he's screaming, Mara Freses, Mara Freses. That's what you are, a bunch of Mara Freses. So it says that all the Chassidim ran out into the street. Their mamish ran out of the house. And Abnei Ezra was the only one that stood there. And then the Koska sat down and his eyes were closed. And for a long time he was on fire. He was like red. And then when he opened up his eyes, he said, where's the, what happened to the Arlam? In the middle of the Seder, where's everybody? So the Abnei Ezra told the rabbis to tell the Chassidim that they should come back in. And they came back in and the Koska gave out Mara. That was the Meister that the Abnei Ezra said with the Mara Freses. I mean, in other words, what he's saying is that there's enough tzaras in the world. You don't ask for Mara. You try to avoid it. He was going to give it, but he says, but to ask for Mara is a bunch of Mara freses. You don't need to be, you don't press on Mara. But that's, you know, Akasha, the only one that stayed was Abnei Ezra. You know, he stayed and then the Kotzke Bechlal didn't remember or didn't know and what happened. But, you know, he was aware of what happened to everybody. The whole Seder is gone. No. But that also during that Skufa, in the year 1859, so this is what we'll just end with this now. In the year 1859, when the Abnei Ezra was 20 years old, the Koska died. The Koska died in the year 1859. And, the Abnei Ezra felt that he is not allowed to be without a Rebbe. Remember, the Abnei Ezra was one of the first tzaddikim we can talk about that came from Chassidim, from that new generation, that new time. So the Abnei Ezra was a makabel upon himself. The person who almost became his father-in-law, that was his grandfather-in-law, the Chiddush Arim, the Holy Rebbe of Ger. Chiddush Arim, we'll talk about a different time, Chiddush Arim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir from Ger. So he accepted the Chiddush Arim as his Rebbe, even though in earlier years he always showed him respect, but he knew him for many, many, since he was a child. The Abnei Ezra always saw him in the house. He accepted him, the Abnei Ezra accepted him as a Rebbe, even though by this time the Abnei Ezra himself was known as being a Goyin Olam. When he was 20, he was known as being the biggest Goyin, you know, but he accepted the Chiddush Arim, was also known as the Goyin of the generation. He accepted him as being his Rebbe, and he used to go to Ger, and he was mevatel himself to the Ger Rebbe. He made himself mamish like nothing in front of the Ger Rebbe, and it happened that for a few years, the Kotzker Rebbetzin was still able to support the couple, the young couple, the Abnei Ezra and his wife, for a few years, but then, when it came to the year, by 1863, 4 years after the Rebbe's death, during those 4 years, she still supported him, supported the couple, but then she could no longer do it, and she was already very old, and the Abnei Ezra refused to accept gifts from the Chassidim. He didn't want any gifts, and he became a Rav. There were a number of cities that he would become Rav in. I think the first stella was called Krushnevitz. I never heard of this town, Krushnevitz, in Poland. And that was the first place where he was Rav. The Chiddush Arim died, it was a short time later. The Chiddush Arim was 40 years older than him. The Chiddush Arim didn't live so long. He died, I don't know what year it was, Mestam was just a year or two later. The Chiddush Arim didn't live much longer, and it was on Chav Gimel Adar. Chav Gimel Adar, that's the outside of the Ger Rebbe, the Chiddush Arim. After the Chiddush Arim died, so he accepted upon himself the leadership to be his Rebbe, the Holy Rebbe of Henochel from Alexander, the Rebbe of Chanuch from Alexander, and we'll talk about that a little bit more next week, but it's interesting because tonight is the Yahrzeit of Rebbe Henochel from Alexander, except it was an other Sheni Lemaisa, so, but the date is the date, which is also a little bit like we had last week in Maisa, so tonight is the Yahrzeit from the Holy Rebbe of Henochel from Alexander. I mean, it's not the Yahrzeit is an other Sheni, he died by Nibiru, it's another Sheni, but the day is the date of Chai Oder, which is the Yahrzeit of Rebbe Henochel from Alexander, and that's who he accepted as his Rebbe. And that would be the last Rebbe until after Rebbe Henochel died. We'll see next week that after Rebbe Henochel died, the Chassidim, many of the Chassidim of Alexander, and some of the Chassidim from other of the Talmidim of Kotzke and Ger, they came to the Abnei Ezra and asked him to be Rebbe, and we'll begin Mitzvah Shem next week with the death of Rebbe Henochel, Alexander, and the Abnei Ezra accepting the leadership, and maybe next week we could begin already to learn some of the Abnei Ezra's teachings regarding the Yontav Purim.